All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of That's Movies, Brother, our podcast. You know, I think this might be the most stoked I've ever been to record an episode of the podcast, because from here until No Way Home comes out, we're talking everything Spider-Man. And I'm stoked because as you guys know, I've ranted enough on this podcast about how Spider-Man's my favorite, and I've been holding back saying everything that I feel about all these movies, because I was like, one of these days we're just gonna have a few episodes where we talk all things Spider-Man, and here we are. So anyways, as usual, we have myself and Nate here.
Hey, Spider-Man. How's it going?
And also we have a special guest today joining us, Holden Hardman. From his YouTube channel, where he reacts but more importantly reviews movies. He's got a lot of super fun and insightful content, including like some documentaries that he's made. Super cool. I love his stuff, and you should check him out. I'm plugging him early.
Thanks.
More importantly, he's an avid Spider-Man fan, so that's why we decided to have him on. How you doing, Holden?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I am a big Spider-Man fan, love Spider-Man, and I'm always down to talk about Spider-Man. Like you said, I'm super excited for No Way Home coming out, and I'm always down to talk Spider-Man.
And that's why I reached out, because like, for just a little bit of a precursor for you guys, each episode we have in the next few weeks talking about a different series, and we're starting off with the original OG Sam Raimi. And I if you've been following Holden to any degree, you know that is his all-time favorite Spider-Man, so figured he'd be a good guy to reach out to. So
yes,
shall we just let's go ahead and jump into it. You know, to start off, I just kind of want to ask everybody, but Holden, if you don't mind, since we know you have the most knowledge here with Sam Raimi, probably, and a lot of personal connection to it, what does this trilogy of Sam Raimi's Spider-Man mean to you?
Yeah, well, you know, first thing I want to talk about is how the Sam Raimi Spider-Man is my personal favorite Spider-Man, but that doesn't mean I don't also like Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland. I think just among the fandoms, you're like, I'm a Raimi fanboy. People think, oh, so he doesn't like the new stuff. I do. So I just wanted to clarify that before we went further. But as far as what it means to me, I mean, this was the definitive Spider-Man of probably my childhood. And I'm not ignorant to the fact that there's probably some nostalgia in there as well. And I watched the movies, all three of them, pretty regularly, I want to say, just as like a pick me up, or I'll look up like clips from it on YouTube. And nostalgia stuff aside, I think that they're such wonderful films. And I think for me, they encapsulate what Spider-Man is supposed to be, this sort of everyman. And I don't know if it's like when I was a child and I was watching them, like 2002, 2004, 2007, I loved it for like the action sequences, and I played the video games that came out like on GameCube at the time. I loved that. And then as I got older and I started going through kind of the later high school stuff, college days, and just struggling in just about every single way that Peter Parker did, especially in Spider-Man 2. You know, he's trying to balance his finances, trying to balance his schooling, his job, his romantic relationships, his friend relationships, all while trying to be Spider-Man. And, you know, take this Spider-Man part aside, I related so heavily to that. You know, the scene where his aunt gives him $20 or whatever, and he's like, take this, don't you dare leave it here. You know, like just stuff like that. Like, we don't really get those types of moments anymore. And that's not complaining about what it is now. I love the MCU, and I love the grand scheme and the interconnectivity of everything. But sometimes it's nice to go back to your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And I think to me, he was everything I wanted to be at the time, and somebody that I could look up to as a kid. And now as a man, you know, I the whole aspect of responsibility, just, I get it. And, so for me, it was kind of, I don't say like it molded my personality, but it was a contributing factor into my views of morality and my views of just trying to be a good person. Even like his humor, you know, I think I probably adopted to some extent, you know, this just joking probably in inappropriate times, you know, just to try and lighten the mood, but really internally like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. So anyway, that's a long-winded answer to that question.
No, it's good. What's it? I'll kind of agree that, you know, it's interesting for me for Spider-Man with these. I definitely watched them as a kid. And the Spider-Man 2 game for PS2 was huge.
Oh, yeah.
My playing that and trying to get really good at the pizza mini game, delivering it. Yeah. these movies just have an incredible amount of heart for me, especially 1 and 2, obviously. Even with their kind of campiness to them, that's, you know, I mean, they've always kind of been known for a little bit, kind of a Sam Raimi quality, and honestly, kind of a Tobey Maguire quality for me. He's just always kind of been a goofy guy every time I see him on screen. But
in a good way.
Yeah, he's, you know, I love it. I'm always smiling. It's just goofy. But I do love how, you know, Spider-Man is constantly saving people. It's kind of very different from these modern day superheroes that are just like, especially like anything Zack Snyder makes, where it's just like everyone's dying constantly all the time and everyone's super empty. I like how this guy just loves going around and saving people, and he's just trying his best. And I like that.
Yeah,
they're fun.
I mean, I can't agree more. I feel like we're only going to have positive things to say here, right? No, I literally started just like smiling ear to ear, had goosebumps when I was rewatching these, because, you know, when we do the podcast, I like to rewatch these movies no matter how many times I've seen them. When the intro music started playing and that theme started going,
yes,
like, I was getting chills, because I know we're all roughly the same age. So we also grew up on this Spider-Man. Like, this was the first Spider-Man for us when we were young. And then as we started growing older, you know, they started introducing these others, but this was the first, this was the OG. And there's just something about it. You know, there will be times during this podcast where I'm going to try to break down, okay, is this just pure nostalgia, or, you know, what is going on here? Why am I feeling this way? Which I think is fun. I love doing that. But yeah, it's I mean, ask Nate, we don't even have video here, but I'm, if you could see me right now, I'm sitting here in a Spider-Man onesie.
I have one too, so you're not alone. I'm not wearing it, but I do have.
I do not own
it. Dude, I'm just so excited for this. So yeah, dude, I'm super glad that we were able to get you on, because it's going to be good. All right. Well, now that we gave a quick kind of synopsis of what we feel about the whole thing, let's quickly go through each movie, you know, very briefly, so we can finish off with, you know, still an overarching sense of the series. But starting off, Spider-Man 1. I absolutely love this movie, and I'm going to start off hot with a controversial opinion. I think I like this one more than 2.
Whoa.
Wow.
I know. Everyone says that Spider-Man 2 is the best, and it's
wrong.
Great. But there's something about this movie. I would say my favorite thing about this movie is, and this kind of spreads throughout most of these first 3 Raimi movies, is the villain. And I find Green Goblin more interesting as a character than Doc Ock. I think Doc Ock is a fantastic villain. Again, I'm getting kind of nitpicky here because I love all these, you know, but I like the relationship. I think there's a closer relationship between him and Norman Osborn. Because, it, you know, right after he lost Ben, you have Norman Osborn who's stepping in, and he told him, you know, during, I remember, you know, the scene when they're graduating and he walks up to him and he's nicer to Peter than he is his own son, which creates an awesome dichotomy.
Yeah.
For him and Harry. But he said, like, you know, I'm here if you need anything. And he's trying to step into this father role that he just lost from Ben, and he feels like he's getting it from Norman. And then for him to be the villain, and for him to have to deal with that, and it's so interconnected to Harry and how that affects him and that relationship, it's so deep, and I just feel a deeper connection between him and the villain in this than I do in the second one. And I think that's a huge thing that we miss from, you know, and while I do like the other Spider-Men, I like, you know, like you, Holden, there's some stuff from this series that you just don't get in the other ones, especially to me in the MCU. You know, we all of Tom Holland's villains are Iron Man villains. And I want someone that's connected in some way personally to Tom, or, you know, to Peter, but his Spider-Man, because I feel like it adds such depth to the story and makes care so much more. Because a good thing that this entire series does is this series focuses possibly more on Peter Parker than it does Spider-Man. And I love it.
Yes. I'd say that that's a fair thing to say. I'm just giving you a hard time about saying Spider-Man 1's better than Spider-Man 2. I am passionate about both of them. And you make really good points about the relationship between Norman Osborn. And I think they're both compelling in different ways. As you pointed out, the sort of the father figure-esque role. And I, at least from what they showed in the first Spider-Man, I don't know if I'd say like the relationship was that intense. I mean, the first time Peter met Norman Osborn was like outside the, the science center or whatever. And then we see a couple of spots where he's Peter Parker and he's at Thanksgiving and he's like, how did you say that happened? And bike messenger, and there's just a couple of moments where he's like, oh, you're looking for a job. I can help you out. But I don't know if I'd say like Peter ever went to like Norman when he was like low and Norman was there for him. I don't know if it was that deep so much as it was, this is a kid. This is kind of what I wish my son, Harry Osborn, who's a piece of crap, was more like. But I don't know. Versus Doc Ock, who is sort of Peter's idol. I guess it would be like, so the relationship is different. So for me, it'd be like if I had like, that family friend you kind of always go over to, you know, like you hang out there. Like if they became evil, they would be like Norman Osborn versus like if Sam Raimi became like, if I was trying to make movies and Sam Raimi was like, I hate this kid. I don't ever want him making movies, you know, like my idol versus this sort of familial figure. So they're both compelling in very different ways. And I think an argument could be made for either. I think having Spider-Man 1 be the preference is not outlandish at all. I totally get that.
Man, what if Tom Holland's Spider-Man, what if Iron Man was the villain of like his second movie or something like that?
That'd be great. It kind of was. He took his suit away.
How dare you, Pops?
but Spider-Man 1 for me, man, I do really love Green Goblin a lot, mostly just kind of because what's his name? Oh my gosh, why am I blanking on Willem Dafoe? There you go.
Wow.
Yikes. He brings like just such a level of kind of gravitas to it. I love Willem Dafoe in general, and all those scenes where he's kind of like inner monologue, talking to a mirror, his self, that kind of stuff. Really cool, and really kind of shows off Sam Raimi's kind of like Evil Dead side in this that I really enjoy.
And I think it's a stronger point than Doc Ock's. Again, I'm not trying to argue that it's bad. I just, the reason I find it slightly more interesting.
Why do you hate Doc Ock? Dr. Octopus, why do you hate?
I'm the only one here sitting in a Spider-Man onesie. You can't attack me for my lack of love.
Dude,
for Spider-Man
I met
villains.
Alfred Molina. Okay?
Oh my gosh. Okay. We got to do a
side. Did you really?
It's got to tell this story. So
I met Sam Raimi, so I'll go next.
Oh, I did not mean to meet Alfred.
We're getting out the measuring tape here, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, where's your flex, Tyler? Who'd you meet? Huh? No, I was living in a town where I, came from, and this was like, only 2 years ago, and this is when they were filming, at least partially, No Way Home.
We live
recent.
Yeah, this is, they have that whole big studio that they built down there called like Pinewood Studios, and they film like all the Marvel stuff there now, at least in part down in Georgia. So I was delivering sushi just to random doors. And
sushi time?
I go to this nice
How much better would it have been if you delivered pizza? If you didn't say pizza time, I would have killed you.
I was living in sushi. It's a pretty nice house to go up to, and I can see it's weird though. It's like all modern, where like the front door is all glass and there's no blinds or shades, so I can just like basically see in the whole thing. And so I see this man coming through, and I'm like, "That looks really familiar." And he comes to the door, and I'm like, "Oh my god, that's fucking Doc Ock!" He's like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And I was like, "Hey, here you go." And he took it, and he gave me a good tip. Thank you, Alfred. I was like, is that real? And I had to check the little like credit card slip, and sure enough, Alfred Molina right there on his
name. Wow. Did he have to sign anything? Did you pocket that signature?
No, I don't think so, because he gave me cash. I just gave him the receipt, and he just gave me cash.
Wow, that's amazing. What was your reaction? Like, were you just like dumbfounded? I feel like I would just stand there like just with mouth agape trying to process, is this really happening, what I'm seeing here?
I basically was, and also I hadn't seen the movies or necessarily him in anything for a while, so I was like, is that him? Am I making this up? Like, I was trying to really, like, figure out if I was right or not, so I didn't have didn't think
probably
to
looks a little older, too.
Melina.
Yeah, it would be, I would, not trying to downplay, you know, Nate's love here, but like Spider-Man's like my all time. So like, I would be losing it. When he told me this story, I was like, what did you do? He's like, I was just kind of like,
Sam Raimi, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, mine's not as cool. I'm just joking around. I met him at a convention. I went down there. He doesn't... it was a Spooky Empire that was doing these conventions. Obviously, he did Evil Dead, which is why he would be there, right? You know, aside from his other horror movies, Drag Me to Hell and whatnot. But he was originally going to be in Chicago, and I couldn't afford it at the time. I couldn't afford it financially or just time-wise. And I was trying to make it work, and I just couldn't do it. And I was like, you know, I don't know how often does Sam Raimi go to conventions. You know, that's probably my only chance. And I missed him there, and then really bummed about that. And I was really starting to regret it. I was like, I should have just sold my life and just, you know, figured out a way to get out there. A couple months later, he's going to another convention. I think it's still Spooky Empire or some affiliate there, but this one's in Tampa, Florida, and I live in Pensacola, Florida. Still a good ways away, but you know, drivable. Yeah. So I drove out to Tampa and waited in line for like 3 hours, paid an exorbitant amount of money to get him to sign. He signed my Spider-Man 1. I like this limited edition film cell from the first movie that came with like a collector's edition of when the first DVD came out, and it had like Sam Raimi had like a special quote on the back signed by him, you know, I'm putting air quotes here. Right. So I had him sign that for me, and he was like to Holden, Sam Raimi. And that was so cool. And I wasn't allowed to film him or take pictures with him or anything like that. And, but I got to meet him and talk to him, and I showed him my Spider-Man 2 and my Spider-Man tattoo. And I was wearing a Spider-Man shirt, and I just went, that like 9-year-old boy in me just like came out, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so, you know, you can sit there and recite for 3 hours what you're going to say to this man. And, you know, I'd be like, I love these movies and it was great. But when you actually meet him like face to face, this guy who indirectly, you know, changed the course of your life, really, it was a lot. And I think one of the final things I said to him, I was like, you know, Spider-Man 2 the Spider-Man films were deeply impactful to me, or something along those lines. And he was like, well, thank you for that. It really made my day. And I was like, you made my life. I didn't say that, but that was internal. so that was cool. And I went to his panel, and we weren't allowed to film or anything or take pictures there, but I recorded the audio. I'm the only one that has that, but that's low key. but that was cool. One of the cooler moments of my life. And I would have absolutely regretted had I missed that one, because I don't think he's done a convention since that one.
Oh, wow. Did you tell him you loved For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner?
No,
missed up. what do you think of Spider-Man 1, though? Give your thoughts.
Final thoughts and I guess rating out of 10. For all the movies.
Yeah, I love Spider-Man 1 is fantastic. The only thing about it that I kind of had to swallow, like as far as like in comparing to the other Spider-Man movie, I'd say Spider-Man 1 probably looks like visually the most dated of the three Raimi movies. The CGI is not quite there, and bear in mind, it's taken me a long time to be able to like just admit that, but visually it doesn't look quite as like as modern, but that would be the only thing I'd say, and that's hardly a gripe so much as it is just a product of the time. When Jen and I, my fiance and I, when we watched these movies and we rated them, I don't remember what I rated Spider-Man 1, but I'd probably go, just thinking of it, not having watched it or heard that iconic Danny Elfman score, I'd probably go like 8.5 right now, say.
Pretty high.
Tyler, what do you, want me to go first? So my ratings on these, I almost kind of view these three movies as a little bit half comedy, not in like a bad way, but they do make me laugh a lot, and it's almost mostly because the memes that have come out from them.
Yes.
It's really hard to watch them and not see them everywhere, especially in 3, that I feel like that's the deepest well for memes, Spider-Man 3, but they're in all of them. I love like Flash Thompson's whole scene. I wouldn't want to fight me either, that whole thing. But there's a certain level of camp that does just like kind of kind of take it down a little bit for me, but this is easily still 7.5 for me.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah. I do really enjoy these. I'm usually a little harsher on these kind of things, and I don't have the same exact Super Spider-Man love that the two of y'all have. They're fun. I know. Yeah, I shouldn't even.
Cool. Yeah, I think I'd have to come in at probably, man, if I'm going pure subjective here, which I feel like is kind of these ratings, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm going a 9 because I can't rate, you know, it's coming up, you know, Spider-Man 2. I can't rate that super low easy. So it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm trying to be like as objective as I can and try to be like, well, it doesn't look as good. The initial moment where Spider-Man and Ock fought, or Ock, when Spider-Man and Green Goblin fought, it looked maybe a little clunky, you know, but to me in my heart, you know, I'd probably rate, you know, it's much higher. I'm doing my best to be like a refined, you know, critic about it, but yeah, so 8.5 is my compromise.
Right.
8.5 is the compromise. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick with a 9 because I don't feel comfortable rating the other things lower, and I enjoyed it more, just a hair, than Spider-Man 2, I think. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Let's move on to probably the most highly regarded Spider-Man film, Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Spider-Man 2.
Nate, you're going to start us off this time.
Ooh, I'm going to start us off?
Yep.
Okay. Wow. Spider-Man 2 is definitely my favorite of the three. And most of that does probably come down to Doc Ock, but I actually really love the whole sequence where Spider-Man loses his powers. I think that's a really solid part, and Peter goes through at least two really cool arcs throughout like all the movies, the first one, the second one, and the third one. And him losing his powers and kind of almost I love the moment where he's, you know, he's watching I can't remember exactly what the crime that's going down, and then he just bites into the hot dog, just completely like, nope, that's not me anymore, I'm done. out of the game. I kind of love that, but then, you know, it's really he never really has the choice that he can just leave it, because just like he's Peter Parker, he is Spider-Man. He can't ever not be that. It would be lying to himself. He has to always go back and try to save people and try to make an end in the work. All that. So I love how kind of Spider-Man evolves in this movie and who he becomes. It's kind of my focal point, I think, for this one. Tyler?
Yeah, I'll go second here because, you know, Holden might go on a long rant, so we'll let him finish it off, which I'm excited for. I'm stoked for it. I love it. So I also really like that moment. I know there's a few people that say, like, you know, it doesn't really make sense that he just loses his powers just because he doesn't want to be Spider-Man or is going through all this. And I disagree. I think
we're gonna get nitpicky about that. We got to get nitpicky about a lot of other stuff, and we don't have time. So it's.
I actually really like it because when you're stressed, you have physical reactions. Like you can do things.
That's the exact point I was gonna make. Sorry.
No, it's great because I think that that's something we've never seen done in a superhero movie before. So I feel like it makes sense. Like if you're a superhero, you don't know how your stress and all this stuff that you're dealing with is going to affect you. And so since it has physical reactions, it could also affect your powers. And I like that. I think it's very creative. And I do think that character development of Peter Parker is stronger in this one than the first one. And the more I talk about it, the more I think about it, I'm just going to end up rating all of them the same because I love them all. This one, honestly, might end up just probably being the same score as the first one. But anyways, getting back into it. So I think that it's really cool that it kind of highlights that you have a choice. And I think this entire series does this, at least the first two movies for sure. I think it's just more directly related to the villain in the first one when Green Goblin says, you are what you choose to be, and then drops Mary and the kids in the trolley is like, now choose. And whereas this one, he's choosing, but he's choosing for personal reasons more so than just the villain. It goes a little bit deeper. And I like the idea that it's like, this relates so much to me right now. I'm going through a lot in my life right now where a lot of things are changing. And I'm trying to decide, what do I want to do? And why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it just because I feel like I have to? And that's what's expected from other people. And the fact that Spider-Man is going through that, I think is just very relatable. And it's really cool to see. And I think it strikes this balance of, yeah, you got to be there and help people, but you also have to take care of yourself, even though it's really stressing that he is destined to be a hero, and that comes at a great cost. And it's not easy to be this kind of hero, whereas a lot of these other superhero movies, sure, they show some hard times, but it's glamorized, these powers that they have and all these things that they can do, where this is like, no, this is hard. And I really like that. And I think that the balance is the fact that I think it was good he took time away. I think he needed that to say, you know what? I think there's a difference of choosing to sacrifice and just making a sacrifice. You can make a sacrifice for many reasons, but when you choose to make that sacrifice for personal reasons and go, I know what I'm sacrificing and I'm going to do this for the betterment of other people, even though it's hard, I think that's what we get in this movie and encapsulates it so well. So I'll leave it at that. I could talk longer, but.
Yeah, I think that's great. A lot of what you touched on was I was going to touch on too. I think at its heart, Spider-Man 2 is about more about Peter Parker than it is Spider-Man. You made a really good point about the stress having like the physical effects on you, whether or not you have the powers or whatever. I'm trying to think of where, if I want to keep going deeper where you're going or start just from the top. You talked about how the movie is about like Peter's, I'm going to say his progression, his character development in this one. I agree that I think it's much more pronounced in this one because not only is the movie trajectory going that way, but it's also Peter is out of high school. And again, in real life, that's when you're going to find out who you really are. Like what Uncle Ben said in the car in the first one, he's like, these are the years a man changes into the man he's going to be for the rest of his life. And I think that's really, really true during those late high school, college days. So adding all that with Peter wanting to be with Mary Jane and he can't, and he accepts the responsibility and the length in which he takes that responsibility to the point where he's saying, I'm pretty much not going to be happy. I'm not going to have what I want. I'm not going to get the girl because I was given these powers. And I think that's another thing that's unique to Spider-Man, especially something that we don't really see anymore, like where the powers are viewed and are displayed more as a curse than like a gift. Like you don't see like Captain America, like the only time I think like Captain America had anything like personal was when he's like, I can't get drunk. And I was like, okay, I mean, that kind of sucks, I guess. But like, you don't see like Ant-Man like complaining about like him changing sizes. I think maybe in Iron Man 2 when the stuff in his chest was starting to make him sick and stuff, I could maybe see it there. But it's like, it's like a uniquely Spider-Man thing. For every good thing he does, two bad personal things happen to him. And that very uniquely Spider-Man, again, not something I really feel like happens currently with the MCU Spider-Man. I think it's changing. I think the tides are turning. But as of yet, not yet. Anyway, okay, I want to try to be more, just talk about the film as a whole. Doc Ock, love Doc Ock. I love the introduction. I love that Harry is like continuing on with Oscorp and he's like still trying to make his father proud, like posthumously. And just feeling like it's never good enough. And then like it literally blowing up in his face when Doc Ock like turns the fusion reactor and it almost more than a drop of tritium would have blown up the entire city, you know? And, I think that they like everything they did right about Spider-Man 1. I know you love Spider-Man 1 a little bit more, but I think that they really dialed it up in this one. Visually, it looks great. I think the special effects were, I still personally, I think hold up today. I think, that movie could come out today and it would fare just fine.
I was just saying, it's really like all the practical stuff they did with, especially the arms for Doc Ock.
Yes.
Really impressive and really cool and really helps it hold up. And I hope to see that in No Way Home. But go on.
Me too. The only other thing I'll add to is, they won the Academy Award that year for visual effects, beating out even Polar Express, I think, which is crazy. But I think Spider-Man 2 really, like, to me, is like the ultimate. And I know it's cliche, and I know it's you'll have Tom Holland or Andrew Garfield fans that roll their eyes at this, but I think it is the quintessential like heart of Spider-Man, and in every way with him, like even like when he's like, you know what, I'm gonna make the choice not to be Spider-Man because this freaking sucks. You know, I can't have anything. My girlfriend, the girl that I love, is marrying someone else. I'm losing my jobs, everything, like this is horrible. so I'm just not going to be. And then he doesn't. And there's this little montage. He's getting his grades up. He's work fixing his bikes, getting that hot dog, which, by the way, was a vegan hot dog because Tobey Maguire is vegan in real life. So that's just a fun tidbit for you. You know, and then there's that moment he's walking down the alley and he sees that guy getting mugged and he's like, what the, like, the Spider-Man is so freaking important, like in, like, obviously in universe, but he, like, just saving, like, imagine just saving like one person's life, like in real life, and the lifelong effect that that would have on that person, or preventing them from being murdered, you know, or like the trauma that ensues not only on them, but their family. And Spider-Man is the one that prevents it. And to his perspective, he, that's just another day, you know? And so the fact that he just can't live his normal life, it's so frustrating. And he has that whole moment where he's like, am I not supposed to have what I want, what I need, you know? And he has that moment with Uncle Ben, like in his heart or in his mind or, you know, ethereally or whatever. And I just love it, man. You just don't get that type of thing anymore. And I'm hoping that the Tom Holland MCU stuff starts to go in that direction. I think there are enough fans that are pointing out this is too Iron Man Jr.-ish. He's not really an everyman. He's always got help from rich, powerful people. And, you know, we want that everyman hero. And it's that in Spider-Man 2. Sorry for my rant, guys. That's it.
Perfect.
I agree. Like, the thing I always say about MCU Spider-Man, I love the way he plays Spider-Man and I love the way he plays Peter Parker, but I don't like the storylines I've given him. He's never had the chance to be his own hero. It's always a mentor. And it's like, we did that in the first one. Why are we doing that story again in the second one? I don't know. I'm not going to go on too much of a rant there. We're talking Sam Raimi here.
Yep.
But I agree. And this movie made me cry multiple times when I watched it yesterday.
It's always the train scene that gets me. I don't know.
I love that.
Talk about that one.
Yeah, but also, I mean, like, one of the best fight sequences of all time.
Really the
Spider-Man
ending of it, though. I just love how the people are just, they're like, they keep the secret, they see his face, but like, I love New York's reaction to Spider-Man in these.
And I really love that scene that Holden was mentioning of the ethereal kind of conversation he has with Ben, and that was one of the big ones for me. I'm like, I'm tearing up. Here we go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be honest, the more we talk about it, the more I think about it, I think I just like them both in different ways. I think they're actually pretty, you know, one and two for me are pretty close, because I really, really like that. Like I said, they focus more on Peter in this series than Spider-Man, and it's a lot deeper. And I really enjoy that and appreciate that. And this movie does it better than the first one. But I just like the dichotomy between the villains, whereas like the Green Goblin, like I said, feels like he's more of this Joker-esque. He's like, I'm gonna make you make these decisions right here, right now, and like tell you things to kind of mess with your mind. And that's very intriguing to me. And he has to still fight and be who he knows he should be through that. It just dives deeper in the second one. So it's the thing. It's like, I love both these movies so much.
Right.
I'm not throwing hate on you know, Spider-Man 2 by any means. And if you think I am, whatever, I guess you're entitled to your own opinion. Hop off. But yeah, this movie, I would probably give it I'm going to go 9. I'm going to put them both at 9s.
Wow.
Because there's a couple small things, to being as objective as possible. Like you said, there are a couple small things that could bring it a little bit back from being a perfect 10. But so I think I'll just put them both at 9s.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
This is definitely the best one for me, no question. It's hard to even encapsulate everything, but really I do struggle to even find little things to point out in this, other than stuff I've already kind of talked about that as far as flaws, other than just kind of general little the goofiness from Sam Raimi's style and Tobey Maguire specifically. So, but I'm also going to give this a 9. Definitely that it deserves this. This is a cultural icon. How about that?
All right, 10. Yeah.
So 10. My turn. Okay. I love it. I totally neglected to even think about that train scene when I was doing my rant. Sorry, guys. Thinking about the end scene, the relationship with MJ, and the, you know, all that stuff, and so good. I could see you saying, you know, the liking Spider-Man 1 and 2 for different reasons. And maybe just for me, the edge is still Spider-Man 2. Because like, if I'm thinking of like, man, I need to watch a Spider-Man movie, I'm probably more likely to pop in Spider-Man 2 than I am Spider-Man 1 or Spider-Man 3. For me, this movie is about as close to perfection as you can get. To me, this is a solid 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love to hear it. Heck yeah. All right. Sweet. So moving on to the last one, yep. We'll touch on this briefly before we recap the whole series, because there's quite a few things I want to say about it as a whole.
We have to talk about Spider-Man 3.
So I'm very curious to hear more of Holden's opinion on this, because I know what your opinion is, Nate. You know what my opinion is.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because I don't want to be that guy that jumps on the bandwagon. And I hope you get that from me saying that I love, you know, the first one just as much as the second one. I really don't like 3. That doesn't mean there's not a couple moments where there's some heart and some fun things and some cool things. But to me, I feel like this movie starts to degrade the characters in certain ways that really bothered me. And I understand making mistakes and making decisions that you regret and have to fix later, but they seem so out of character. Some of the decisions Peter Parker makes before he even gets the symbiote on him, like, you know, kissing Gwen Stacy.
And yeah,
he did that before he even had the symbiote on him. So I'm like, this is not, like, it just feels like it's not Peter Parker. Like, I know he can make mistakes, but he's throwing everything out the window. And for someone who struggles so much and should remember how hard it was to keep a hold of everything, I feel like he would cherish it a little more. And I love that, like, you don't know what you have until it's gone. So I love the idea that there should be some sort of ego play in this movie. I just think it was way too heavy-handed. Obviously, there's a lot of villains, so there's a lot going on, which is another thing, very, very common review of that.
Yeah.
But I'll move on. Those are some of the big things that bother me with this. I'm really not trying to be a downer, but it's really hard for me to pick out moments in this movie that I'm like, I love, you know? And I think the best thing of this movie for me is probably just the ending, where not because it's over. it's probably when it finished in the credits roll. No,
yeah.
Is probably the conversation that he has with Sandman at the end, because it gets back to the heart of who Spider-Man is. But I feel like it's been played out a little bit. But I think after he's gone through all these ego things, that whether I think they're out of character or not, they happened to personally forgive the man that killed his uncle, because he never had to deal with that before. He had to deal with all these other things, and he knew, I mean, he had to deal with the guy who he thought, but that was before he realized the great power comes great responsibility that Ben told him earlier. He was enraged during that moment, so that moment probably would have gone differently if he had taken the time to go, this is who I should be as Spider-Man, which he figures out in the first movie. So he never really had to confront the killer in a way that current Spider-Man would. So I like that he was able to do that at the end. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you're up.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough for me. Something that I like. I'm sorry, man. It's funny. I hadn't watched Spider-Man 3 in a long, long time. So when I rewatched it last night, I was kind of like, well, you know, it's probably too hard on it back then. You know, it's probably not that bad. I mean, yeah, it's got some goofy, he's dancing around emo thing, but it's probably fine. I was pretty right. It's just really unfortunate, especially like even starting off that weird fight scene with Harry and Peter kind of right off the beginning is not great. It just looks bad, honestly. Looks probably like my least favorite action sequence of any of them. Is that first opening scene with Harry, and it's kind of long too. Weird stuff with how they introduce the villains, like Sandman's just like, he just randomly walks into a experimental, they're doing something with particles, and they don't care. Like,
there's so many coincidences in this movie, it's wild.
It's got coincidences, but it's also like, what are they doing? It's like, they got a bunch of sand. They're making it into sand, and then he gets in there and he's sand. And I don't know what his powers are, what he can do, what he can't do.
But he's cool.
He can fly as sand. I don't know why. I mean, it's just it's too much. It's too much.
He rides the wind.
It's weird, because that's honestly one of my least worries, is like, Sandman's cool, so I kind of give it a pass.
There's probably a way you can do Sandman, but it's so rushed how they just don't give him any real. I mean, explanation that it's just, every time I was on screen, I'm like, how is he do? I don't know what's going on, because I just don't know what can hurt him or what can or what he can do, any of that kind of stuff. But that kind of beside, I do definitely agree with Tyler that the weird stuff with Gwen Stacy that like hurts the MJ relationship and all that kind of like fake feeling tension is really strange. It's almost like Peter Parker's flaw in this movie is pride, which feels weird for him. because that doesn't feel like a Peter Parker flaw. You know what I mean? He's got flaws, but that one feels odd. That feels like an Iron Man flaw.
Which,
you know?
I think they can do, because that's, again, that's an every man's issue. Is pride.
Sure. Yeah.
I think they just did it not great. And to defend myself, I will say, as everybody knows, there's a lot of studio pressure in this. I think, you know, to put Venom in there and all that kind of stuff. So I think if Sam Raimi had made the movie he wanted to make, I think they should have listened to him. He did good in the first two. It's like he probably would have been able to give the proper amount of time to get the story across that he wanted.
Was
and
him
for to make the decisions
the
to actually
in the jazz club? Was that the studio pressure?
I don't know. My whole point is, I think I'm hoping that if he actually had that opportunity, he would have given time to explain why he's actually making these decisions. Because I feel like we don't get that. But anyways, moving on. Hold on. Yep. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, y'all made some really good points. Okay, I should go ahead and preface this with saying I acknowledge that Spider-Man 3 is not the best. Of the three, it's my least favorite. That being said, I do think there are some good moments. Aside from just the cliched answers of too many villains, not enough time to develop, I think that all is valid. I think it's all true. Visually, you mentioned the Harry Osborn fight at the very beginning. You said you just didn't like the way it looked. I kind of see what you're saying. I actually didn't mind that fight. Where it bothered me was the fight with Sandman, where they're fighting underground, and it looked rough. That's the scene that really stuck out to me, of it just not looking quite as good.
Just real quick, we actually thought when we were watching it last night that the effects on Sandman, the way that the sand, you know, the CGI sand works, for the most part, are pretty good. As far as like when it's, you know, flying, when he's kind of getting dusted, when he's trying to form himself. I mean, yeah, it's got flaws. Yeah. Like looking at it for 2007, we were both kind of like, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Not bad. I think that the part where he actually becomes Sandman and there's like that soft music, it's super like cinematic, and he has the locket of Penny in his hand. And I think that is fantastic. That's one of the highlights of the movie in terms of just the effects and the emotional gravitas, even though like we didn't quite know him yet. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a good point in filmmaking, visually and storytelling, without actually saying anything. We know his motivation. We know he loves his daughter. We know he's a good man, but he's on the run from the law, you know, type of thing. So I think that all of that was great. The whole Harry stuff happened way too fast. I think one of my big issues with Spider-Man 3 is that they took aspects of the comics. And that's a whole other gripe, people saying that the Raimi movies are not like the comics. I have no freaking clue where that comes from, just because he doesn't have the artificial web shooters. But most of this stuff comes out of the comics. As far as like Peter's pride and Spider-Man 3, I think that they were all like they took like a jumbled stuff from comics and threw it in here. The pride thing made sense. I mean, Peter Parker in the first like Amazing Fantasy, Amazing Spider-Man movies was like a douche, and he was like an egotist, and when he was like doing his whole wrestler phase. But at the point in our cinematic Raimi story, I kind of agree that it doesn't make the sense to the extent that it was, where he's kissing Gwen Stacy in front of Mary Jane and thinking there's no consequence. I think it made sense where they were going, because they wanted the symbiote to exacerbate the aggression part of him. So to show a little bit, but I think I agree that they kind of went over the top at first. I would have liked to have seen a little bit kind of Peter being like, oh, you're right, you know, or being confronted with it by MJ or something, where, you know, Peter, I'm struggling at my Broadway play and you're only talking about yourself, and I'd be like, you know what, MJ, you're right. I'm kidding. I'm working on it, or something along those lines. Show a little bit, but
right
to that extent was a bit much. Gwen Stacy's introduction. Like if in Spider-Man 1, if it was not MJ, but was instead Gwen Stacy, and the part where he's like, we are who we choose to be, now choose, and dropped Gwen Stacy, and he tries to say both, and then Gwen Stacy died, I think would have been way like closer to the comics. And I think would have hit home in Spider-Man 2 if he met like a Mary Jane and he's like, the ones I love will be the ones to suffer. I cannot be with you. I cannot go through that again, type of thing. I think that would have emphasized that a little bit more. It would be the only things that I would maybe change or add to that. But yeah, I think they tried to do too much. I think that I feel so bad for Sam Raimi, because I've heard him talk about it. Even at the panel I mentioned earlier, he was like, you know, I stay off the internet because I'm very sensitive to the criticism, you know, online. And he says like he's a sensitive person, just personally. And I'm like, oh wow, that's That's crazy. I don't ever really think about that. And there was a quote he had recently where he's like, you know, people hate Spider-Man 3 and they're usually not shy in telling me that, you know, and I'm like, oh man, that has got to suck, especially when you've made like two of the greatest comic book movies, one of which arguably is the greatest comic book movie, but because you didn't stick the landing, that's all people want to focus on. That's got to blow. And, a lot that I would change about this movie, a lot I didn't like in this movie. I also think my last point is that I think that it's also a case of we're probably a little spoiled. I mean, going off the heels of Spider-Man 1 and 2 and then getting what I would think if you didn't have those two would probably be an okay Spider-Man movie. I mean, I don't think that there's anything like without the comparison game, I think that it would be okay. But because we have the two predecessors being so good, it exemplifies the faults. And which also sucks, but yeah, favorite moments probably in that one. We mentioned the Sandman sequence, I thought was really great. You mentioned the finale Sandman conversation about forgiveness, which I thought was fantastic, and like you said, brought back the heart of who Peter Parker is, and the sacrifice of Harry. I thought the duality between his father killing himself with his own glider to try and kill Peter versus his son who sacrificed himself to save Peter was really neat. And my last gripe about it, I guess that's something I liked. My final gripe about it, I guess, is that the conclusion with Peter and MJ left off on a rocky footing. And I really wish that they were like the ending, since obviously they thought they were going to do Spider-Man 4, but because Spider-Man 3 was the end, I really wish they would have left off on solid footing, that they were okay. This is just personal because I'm so invested in their relationship. I just want them to be okay, you know. But that's yeah, that's all.
You know, who knows?
No way, I'm used to like pregnant.
Oh, I hope so, man.
Yeah.
But I'll be the first. Quickly give a rating. I'll be the first. That way, you know, the hate can be directed at me. I guess. Guys, don't hate me. I love Spider-Man. I'm going to give this like a 3. I really, really hard for me. I'm sorry.
That hurts.
I'm sorry. It's not a 0. It's not a 1 because there are a couple moments. But besides that, it just is. All those moments just take me out of the movie. And it's so hard.
Sorry, Sam.
No, again, that's what I said. I'm not attacking Sam on this. Like, I have respect for him. And that's why I like to say those things, because guys, don't throw hate at the director. There's a lot of stuff that goes into making movies.
Yeah. You can have definitely valid critique without hating on people. Sure. That's definitely like a fan thing where they get way too heavily invested in a property and then they get physically angry that it didn't turn out how they wanted it to, opposed to just having, you know, a critique of something and kind of keeping it objective. But yes. Yeah, I'll be honest, Tyler, I'm down there with you. There are moments of this that are painful for me to watch, unfortunately, and it really sucks because it's so crazy to go from Spider-Man 2, which is my 9, to my 2.5, which I'm gonna give.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I know, that's so low. I feel bad. I'm pretty sure I rated Eternals higher than that.
Oh my god.
I know. But it's just unfortunate because it just does really feel like there's a massive drop in quality between the two. And it does make me wonder what it would be like if this Spider-Man 3 was somehow the first Spider-Man that came out, and
that would be
that
a
series.
Different character. You know what I mean?
Or yeah, Peter it would Parker be completely be different. So, yeah. And I don't it's think hard. It would have gotten a sequel. But you know what I mean? I do wonder what my score would be in that scenario. But yeah, unfortunately, it's a little low. But Holden, I'm curious to see what you got.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick to my guns. I had my rating in my head before I heard y'all. I'm gonna stick to this. I'm gonna say it's a 7 out of 10. Again, I think that there's some, we're a little spoiled by the movies being so good prior to it, but it has its faults. Don't get me wrong. There's pacing issues, but there's also moments like with Aunt May and Peter that I think still have the heart of the original movies, where she's telling him, you know, a man must put his wife before himself, and telling the story about how she and Uncle Ben were together. Even some of the sequences I really enjoyed. I always love seeing my boy swinging through the sky. I think the scene where he catches Gwen Stacy, lol, Andrew Garfield, was really, really awesome when the skyscraper was falling. Albeit the direction I didn't like to go with the relationship with MJ, it still was character development for both of them. Again, albeit not the direction I would have liked, but it made some compelling issues where they're having a relationship and MJ is not telling Peter what's going on. It causes them to drift apart. Some things that didn't make sense, obviously, like the bridge sequence where she can't be like, Harry Osborn's right over there, Peter, you know, or help me out or something. But yeah, I'm going to go with 7.
Fair. I respect that for
yeah,
sure. Definitely.
The number. Yeah. There's
I wish mine could be higher. I really do, but I can't fight what I feel, you know?
Right.
So
yeah,
it's
fair enough.
It sucks. I love Spider-Man, but okay. Quickly, you know, unfortunately we are running out of time here, but we'll finish it off by our thoughts of the overall series. And quickly, if we have time, you know, what we are excited to see in No Way Home, especially, you know, relating to the Raimi series. I'll quickly start that off and be quick about it. Something that I love about this entire series is that New York City is a character in this.
Agreed. And
I absolutely love that. I feel like in all these movies, you get to see that through the reactions of the people themselves, but also like in the train sequence on the bridge when they throw things at Green Goblin, like you see the heart of the city as a whole and it makes it a character. When I went to New York City for the first time as a kid, I was looking for buildings that I saw in the Spider-Man 2 video game because the movies made, and I mean the video game too, because I, you know, went there in the video game, but they made it feel like it was alive. I know New York City is alive, but in a way that is so relatable to the hero in the story, and I absolutely love that. I think that this series does an amazing job at, like I said before, showing that you have a choice, and that it, you know, it's a tough price to pay to be that sort of hero. And then the only thing that I know a lot of people might say and is some of these movies in certain parts are goofy. The writing is very, there's just some weird conversations that seem kind of campy. But I think part of that might be intentional because you're coming off of some of these superhero movies that are kind of campy, you know, old Superman, Batman and stuff. And I think they wanted to show you can have the fun campiness and laugh and do all that, but it can have so much heart as well.
Right.
So I defend that almost to a fact that like they did that on purpose. And I in call it nostalgia. Somebody else who's, you know, reviewing this might say this is a negative thing and all the power to you. But to me, whether it's nostalgia or not, I enjoy those moments because it comes with heart attached. So that is my overall thoughts about that. And as far as what I'm excited to see, I mean, if Tom McGuire doesn't show up, I will be upset. The end. I would also love to see
riots in the streets.
I'm so excited to see Doc Ock and Green Goblin. Man, I really hope we do get a sneak peek of MJ and a little bit about what their life is like, because just like Holden, I think that'd be the biggest thing. I'm like, I'm curious. What is going on? What has happened?
Yeah.
I hope we get a sneak peek into it.
We just see Harry and MJ in the background together somehow.
All right, Nate, quickly, you know, finish off your thoughts and we'll let Holden finish off.
I think that overall I probably would agree that the Tom McGuire, I'm still rewatching as we're kind of on the prep for No Way Home, but I probably will say that the Tom McGuire Sam Raimi is my favorite series of the Spider-Man, of the Andrew Garfield Tom Holland ones that we've seen so far, at least. I really do like them a lot for how they're done. I even though, you know, they got their weird little issues here, but they are just, they're just full of heart. I mean, you know, it's we kind of harked on it a lot, but that is really what it all kind of comes down to, and they're so they feel so special in comparison to a lot of the other superhero kind of just guff. I won't go on too long. It's really just that in a nutshell.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess
the villains, bro. I think I was excited for those villains, man.
Yeah, it's really that. I want to see what they do with Green Goblin, because they've, as far as like, because we've seen a lot of Doc Ock in the trailers and stuff like that, and I kind of know the direction. I can kind of guess at least the direction they're gonna go, but I wonder how Green Goblin will be as a villain moving in that film. How important or impactful it'll be. It just seems really cool. So I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, for my final thoughts, I agree with everything you said about New York being a character. I again, not to try to bash MCU, but I feel like that's one of the key elements that is missing in this current iteration of Spider-Man. And hopefully we'll be getting some more of that as he grows and develops. And I think that's always kind of been the plan. But I love the city of New York in that movie. Dang it, you pretty much made the point I wanted to make. I will say I I've said it before already too, but I love the heart of this movie. It feels like Spider-Man. Sam Raimi got the job for this movie because he was such a fan of the comics and because of his love and passion for Spider-Man. And I feel like it really bleeds through in these films. And another reason why they're so special. As far as No Way Home, I am really obviously super excited to see Doc Ock, Green Goblin, and even the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man villains. I'm so excited. I do have an air of caution because we know the sins of Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man 2 was trying to cram in too much, too fast. And I want justice for, like when Doc Ock's on screen, Green Goblin, these are main central villains. And I don't want them to just be kind of pushed off or not given their justice. I don't know how they're going to present them or like what they're going to do. So I'm still hopeful. It can be done tastefully and in a good way, but it's hard to give everyone like, their time, especially if there's rumors of the other Spider-Man being there, because if they're going to have Toby or Andrew, I want to see them interact. I want to see them kicking butt, I want to see them having cool conversations with each other. And it's hard to cram all that into probably a 2.5 hour film. What's that?
Yeah, they released,
from what I heard, like
fine with me.
8 minutes, I think. Yeah.
3 hours. That's totally fine with me. But anyway, that's my caution from the trailers, which, there's only, I don't know how much deception is involved there. Cause Marvel's been known to do that with their trailers. I think it's going to be great and I'm super excited to see it. I haven't been this excited for a Spider-Man movie, in a long time. And, I really, really am. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. This is like end game level for me. I might be more excited for this. Than end game.
I think I might be more excited for this one than I was maybe for Endgame, but I think Endgame had a pretty great payoff, after having seen it. So yeah. I'll have to come back after I've seen the movie.
Well, fingers crossed. I'm trying my best to be able to see this movie early, get some pre-screening tickets. That'll be
hook
awesome.
Me up if you do.
I'm going to try. Okay. I guess I'll make this public. I'm going to try if the hardest that I can to all the guests that we have on this to get them pre-screening tickets if I get them. And that way we can do a big mega podcast episode about all of our thoughts afterwards.
Yes, that would be great.
Buddy, pressure Sony
giant
and Marvel.
5 hour podcast.
Hey, it's fine with me. And I could, if you do, I got to take my soon to be wife. So if you can only get one, you probably need to go ahead and give it to somebody else. I've got to see it with her. So I couldn't go.
That's fair. But Sony, Marvel, hook me up, please. I appreciate you for hooking me up with those Eternals tickets. That was awesome. So
yeah, that's really cool.
Anyways, we appreciate your time. We could sit here and talk for hours and hours and hours about Spider-Man, and hopefully we'll have that opportunity with No Way Home. Fingers crossed. Until then, guys, go check out Holden Hardman. If there's anything else you want to plug, feel free to do that now, man.
Yeah, just my channel, Holden Hardman, on YouTube, and we're doing Batman stuff. We're about to move on to Lord of the Rings, but a lot of fun stuff over there. Check it out.
Heck yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you guys. If you don't mind giving us a rating, if you're on Apple Podcasts, that would help us out a lot. And stay tuned, because next time we are going to be talking about the Amazing Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, and it'll be interesting to kind of compare. But it's been a good time, man. I really appreciate it. I'm sure we'll end up talking more Spider-Man in the future and doing something crazy. Probably.
Yes, we will. So,
awesome, man. We'll see you guys next time.
All right. Got to run, guys. Y'all take care. Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. Listen in on Apple Podcast.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Peace. All right.
See you.